Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
See store for details.
3:03 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. More of the Maryland fallout coming out today. We'll discuss World Series. Is it over for the Los Angeles Dodgers? We'll kick that around. Also, some NFL news, some Major League Baseball off-field news. It's all coming up on the Gym Class for a Thursday here on KGYM. And welcome into the Gym Class for Thursday on KGYM 1600 AM, along with 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Lots to get to on the program. More from the fallout of the Maryland terrible situation over there. As far as the Terrapin football program, we'll talk about that. NFL news, World Series is 2-0 in favor of the Boston Red Sox right now. And you're Minnesota Twins, Mark. Good afternoon. You've got a brand new manager. And as everyone knows, he was the sixth overall pick of the 2000 Major League Baseball draft. Welcome to the Rocco Baldelli era in Minneapolis.
It's his main claim to fame. He was an okay player, but never managed at any level. And this is the way some Major League Baseball teams are going these days. And Baldelli, who knows? He may be terrific. I was a big Paul Molitor fan. He was not Twins organization. The executives were not a fan of Paul Molitor for whatever reason. But the Twins will go forward and try to bounce back from an otherwise mediocre year. And you know, who knows what to expect from Rocco Baldelli, but the Twins have made their selection. We've got a poll question today on that topic at KGYMradio.com. Did the Twins make a good move to hire Rocco Baldelli? Three choices. Yes, he sounds promising. No, he's got no experience. Lastly, maybe time will tell. And the poll question brought to you by Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
No major league managerial experience. By the way, he was third in the 2003 American League Rookie of the Year voting, by the way. Claim to fame for Rocco Baldelli. And it's just it's more of baseball in this era. And I guess I like the fact that baseball is not getting the quote-unquote retreads out there. The same guys you have in the managerial positions over and over again. Try somebody new. Try somebody fresh. You know he's going to be the modern-day sabermetric guy. You know that, Mark. Welcome to the world of sabermetrics in the Twin Cities.
Although Brad Ausmus was just recycled.
True, right? But Toronto came up with a new name, fresh name today as well for their new managerial choice. So I think it's kind of the trend to, for the most part, maybe 70% of the new managers out there are going to be guys like, say, Rocco Baldelli. In his day, somewhat an Ozzie Guillen to a certain extent. A Robin Ventura who was thought about throwing a little Chicago White Sox out for everybody out there, since I'm a little familiar with that situation. But, yeah, guys that maybe have shown the ability to become a big league manager at some point. Talked about it during their career in the back half. Get a chance to do it right now. Why not try that, I guess, as far as getting a guy like Brad Ausmus to come back?
True enough. Baldelli is going to be the youngest manager in the major leagues. You got, managers like Cora, Kevin Cash, that are around 40 years old, but I don't know. Maybe that's more relatable to the players.
Could be. So what do you think out there? Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line is open at 319-366-1600. Hurtina Stocker Jewelers located on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. By the way, we are, as always, presented by the good folks at Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue, Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Stop on by, locally owned and operated. And when you're at Third Base, you're practically home. And appreciate their help. Tell them that Scott, Mark, Kyle, everybody here at KGYM sent you. Big news of the day coming out, even overshadowing the World Series, at least big news as far as Big Ten country is concerned. The report on Maryland football, more details released today, and the internal probe into the Maryland football program claims that the program was a culture of fear, Mark. That is the way that it was put by the commission. The Washington Post, however they did it, good for them, they got a glimpse of the final copy, interviewing former players, parents, athletic department staff, and it's not a pretty picture for the Maryland Terrapins out there. Quote, the commission found that the Maryland football team did not have a, another quote, toxic culture, but it did have a culture where problems festered because too many players feared speaking out, unquote. That is what the University of Maryland Board of Regents and their commission and their report came out with today.
The story goes on to say that DJ Durkin, who has been on administrative leave since August 11th, and by the way, no word on his future at Maryland yet, but the investigation painted Durkin as a coach who genuinely cared about the well-being of his players, but he had an open-door policy that effectively only existed for people who had similar views to his. He also failed to provide oversight into the operation of the strength and conditioning program under, Rick Court, who was fired August 14th. So while the investigation did not find a toxic culture at Maryland, but it was one of fear. And where that may lead DJ Durkin, we show God, you would think you'd have some decisions soon.
I can't imagine. After reading this, taking a look at it, there is no possible way in the world DJ Durkin can come back.
You wouldn't think so.
To this situation. And not only DJ Durkin, but the commission is also talking about the fact there could be athletic department personnel all through the athletic department that could be let go, dismissed, due to everything that went on as far as the death of Jordan McNair and the whole football program is concerned. What Rick Court did, the former strength and conditioning coach who was let go in mid-August by Maryland, as well he should have been, just to read some of the stuff that went on, and I'm not naive. I know that maybe not to this extent, but a lot of this stuff goes on in big-time college football. I think we can't stick our head in the sand for it, but Maryland, this went above and beyond. And to have this, to have the commission find that DJ Durkin, basically, if you agreed with his policies and he was your best friend, if not, then the heck with you. I just don't know how you can bring a guy like this back. I think Matt Canada is going to be your new coach for Maryland if they so choose it to be that way. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in on that. The terrible situation that continues for the Maryland Terrapins out there. 319-366-1600. World Series is going back to Los Angeles, and it might not come back to Boston, Mark, as the Red Sox took a 2-0 lead in the series last night. David Price was terrific again for the Boston Red Sox, an unheard of pitching performance in these days, as he went fairly deep into the ballgame last night for Boston. But he was good.
He wasn't quite as spectacular as he was in the ALCS, but he was good enough. And this is 2 wins in a row for David Price, who had never won a postseason game up until the last week or so. Boston is in tremendous position, obviously up 2-0. And you know, you would think L.A. would have to win at least a couple in L.A., if not all three, to get this series back to manageability. But I just see a Boston team that is superior to the Dodgers. In fact, you know, I think you look at, you can make an argument that all year the American League had more
top flight teams
than the National League.
I don't think there's any doubt, and it's just the way it goes. It's cyclical, and in this day and age, you had, I think, at least three or four of the teams in the American League, at least, well, three for sure, maybe four, maybe an outside of five that were probably superior, I think, to any team in the National League.
Boston, Houston, Cleveland, the Yankees, Oakland, maybe.
Maybe even throw Oakland in there. Maybe not Oakland so much, but I think at least four. I mean, Cleveland's pitching when they were healthy, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's turning out to be that way. Game three comes up tomorrow night. We get back into the series. Game four coming up on Saturday, which could be, who knows, the final game, how that plays out. We have high school football coming up tomorrow, playoff action.
On the Hartin and Stocker Jeweler text line, 37-76, Maryland, not unlike our government, needs to scrap everyone in charge and start with a fresh slate. We shall not get into government and politics, but point well taken.
No, we will not. Appreciate that out there. Dave Koken is going to join us from Las Vegas coming up here in just a little bit. Then Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will be joining us. Plenty to talk about with Jeff. We will talk, of course, about the high school football playoffs, round number one, which gets started tomorrow. Para games coming your way. A little bit earlier start time because the game starts at 7, so we'll be on the air at 6:45 tomorrow. 1600 AM, 107.5 FM. We'll have Kennedy at Iowa City West. Also, West High fans, if you'd like to tune in, please encourage you to do so. KGYMradio.com. If you can't get it on one of those two signals, KGYMradio.com, the KGYM Radio app as well. You can go to the main gym stream and pick it up that way. 106.3 FM, it'll be Western Dubuque at Solon at 6:45. Zach Mackey and Gary Fickle will be on the call of that one. Myself and John and Jeff Moss will be out at West High coming up tomorrow as well. So looking forward to that. And then we will have the Eastern Iowa High School Football Scoreboard Show coming your way for you tomorrow night. The conclusion of the games, probably about 9:20, 9:30. And Jeff will go until 11 o'clock. We're not going to make him go to midnight tomorrow. All the scores will be in at that point.
I'm just sitting here thinking, what has Maryland and Rutgers done since joining the Big Ten to elevate the league's brand?
In football and basketball, you're looking at mainly?
Anything.
Lacrosse has been outstanding, but that really doesn't, although the kids like the lacrosse. I learned that.
Mark Ironside has told us that Rutgers is one of those up-and-coming wrestling schools.
Correct.
But come on, up till now, what has Maryland and Rutgers done to elevate the Big Ten brand?
Brought a lot of televisions into the market.
Are you sure about that?
Into the Big Ten Network.
Are you sure about that?
Well, that goes without saying, the whole New York area and the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. I mean, that goes without saying, but I get your gist. As far as football is concerned, not really. Has Rutgers and Maryland taken the Big Ten down more than they've helped the Big Ten as far as football is concerned? Rutgers is no great shakes in basketball. Now, women's basketball with Vivian Stringer, yeah, they've had good teams, certainly. Maryland men's basketball, yeah, but now they're also immersed in the whole shoe company situation. Who knows how that's going to play out with Maryland? So, to answer your question, I'd have to say no. They haven't brought a whole lot to the table.
23-25 on the text line. The only sport they have helped that every Big Ten school has is women's basketball in Maryland.
True, yeah. Yeah, we forgot about
under
that.
Under the head coaching of Cedar Rapidian, Brenda Freeze, yeah.
Very much, very much. And I apologize to all the Freeze family for not including Maryland women's basketball. Picked to win the Big Ten, by the way, this year with Iowa picked to finish second. Wanted to get this in as well, Mark, before we took a break today, and that is this is an unprecedented move by the National Football League. If you remember back 2 weeks ago, the Cleveland Browns were hosting the Los Angeles Chargers in a game, and just ahead of halftime, there was a very egregious miss of a call on a false start, which resulted in a touchdown by the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, the left tackle moved a good second ahead of the snap, and it was not caught by the officiating crew. NFL Today has fired the down judge on that particular crew. His name is Hugo Cruz. First NFL official fired mid-season in the Super Bowl era, which goes 53 years this year.
That's hard to believe.
Yes, egregious. Many more calls that were probably as egregious, but maybe that didn't result in a touchdown by that particular play. But NFL may be getting taking a much harder stance as far as officiating. Now, remember, these are not full-time officials as well. Baseball has full-time umpires. Basketball has full-time referees. NFL, not so much. These are part-time people. They have other jobs out there. So, and people have been clamoring for a long time about making NFL officials full-time.
Didn't they hire a few full-time in the last couple of years?
May have. I don't know. But I know the whole thing is not, they are not all full-time officials. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're seeing a change in the guard as far as the NFL is concerned, as far as the quality of the officiating is concerned.
And why not? You see with coaches and players all the time, why not officials?
I feel bad for Hugo, but I feel that it is a good move by the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
I have long said that the quality of the NFL officiating has not been very good. It's not like it was in the past with our friend Bill Quinby and other people like that. All right, 3:20. We need to take a break, come back. A very happy Dave Koken is going to be joining us coming up next. Not just because Dave is out of lunch in Las Vegas, but what's Dave's favorite baseball team, Mark Dukes?
Boston Red Sox.
Boston Red Sox. So we will talk with Dave Koken about his beloved Red Sox and football and more when we come back. Jeff Johnson waiting in the wings on the On Deck Circle, so stay tuned. More to come. Gym class for a Thursday coming your way, presented by Third Base Brewery here on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Now at Menards. Save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Create custom storage with Dakota pre-finished shelving. 15 1/4 inch deep by 6 foot long bullnose shelving in white or wheat oak is $8 after sale price and 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through October 27th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Back with you here on the Gym Class at 3:22 for a Thursday on KGYM. Thursday night football coming your way. All three frequencies tonight at 7 o'clock. It'll be the Miami Dolphins and the Houston Texans. The Texans looking for, I believe, their fourth straight victory coming up tonight. We'll have it for you at 7 o'clock, about 7:20, with the kickoff right here on KGYM. Our friend Dave Koken joining us from Las Vegas, and we encourage you to give him a follow on Twitter, at Dave Koken, all one word, on Twitter. And, of course, Dave's website is smokingkoken.com. The happiest Red Sox fan or Red Sox fan in Las Vegas. Is that true? Your Red Sox are looking good, Dave.
I don't know if I'm the happiest because there's a lot of us out here, but I'm very pleased with the way things are going. And, you know, it's great to win those first two games. All the pressure's on the Dodgers now.
What happens with the books now that the series moves to L.A.? What do you expect?
Well, look, it's going to be more of a National League-style game for the Dodgers, at least they're hoping so, where the matchups that Dave Roberts likes to utilize, he was going to play here. He has not been able to do that. And, in fact, I thought Roberts did a lousy job in the two games at Boston because when you're playing in the American League ballpark, you get the DH, there's not going to be any pinch hitting for the pitcher. You got to do less matchups and go with your best lineup. It doesn't matter whether it's a lefty or a righty in the mound for the other team. You got to get your best guys in the field. And I don't think he did that. And, he also made a couple of questionable moves as far as the pitching's concerned, and I'm glad he did. I mean, it worked out beautifully. Alex Cora is just pressing all the right buttons for Boston. I think what you got to see in Game 3 is, given that Cora already knows what the general strategy and strategic tendencies of Roberts are, I think you're going to see Rick Porcello, but maybe not for all that long. Maybe 3 or 4 innings, and then hand it off to Eduardo Rodriguez and start making Roberts go back to these platoons, which is not really working out, and I think Roberts will call for it again.
Yeah, Dodgers, for the most part, just aren't hitting really for the postseason. They've had a few clutch hits, but as far as averages are concerned, they've not been there during the postseason.
Look, they live and die by the homer. And the Red Sox might be, for those who kind of don't like the analytical tendencies where power is supposedly the be-all and end-all of putting together a baseball team, the Red Sox might be in the process of changing that by themselves. This is a grinder lineup. Not that they don't have power, but this isn't a team that wins with a home run. They win by putting balls in play, not striking out a whole lot. And I thought there was a great comment by Alex Cora after last night's game, and he didn't pull any strings. He doesn't have any particular interest in these guys who hit 210 with 40 home runs. He doesn't think that's good baseball, and I agree with him.
College football weekend, it doesn't sound like you're going to have too heavy of a card, Dave, but I wonder, big game in these parts, Iowa at Penn State. Any thoughts on that game?
I would only take Iowa. I'm not sure Penn State cares that much anymore. They were not impressive last week against Indiana. They really aren't playing for anything at this point. I'm sure the coach is selling them on pride and motive, how important every game is. But it's not important. This is a team that thought they were going to be contenders to the playoffs or at least a Big Ten title. They're neither. And it's really tough to generate that kind of emotion that you need in college football with a team that realistically knows their hopes for the season are shattered. Iowa has a lot more to play for than Penn State at this point. And I'm not so sure that Penn State's that much better than the Hawkeyes anyway.
Yeah. Well, and the weather is going to play a factor the way it sounds like. 3 days of rain, 100% chance of rain just about on Saturday. So who knows?
I don't really put much into the weather unless it's wind. Wind is a really important factor in football. The weather, it's not that big a deal.
I did see you like a game in the Big 12 this week, Dave, right?
Just a lean on West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing there. It's their first Thursday night home game since 2014. The players themselves talked about the lack of energy they had in the Iowa State game, so I think you've got to see a more focused effort. The reason it's only a lean for me, though, is, West Virginia's defense just isn't very good. And Baylor's good enough offensively and improving enough, as they showed against Texas. This is a team that's getting better. They might be a backdoor possibility late in the game. I would not feel real comfortable with a free touchdown lead if West Virginia gets ahead by that much. So if I'm playing a big favorite, I want it to be a game where I think there's going to be a very good chance of a blowout. I think West Virginia is the right side here, but not confident enough to actually put money on it.
I read that stuff about West Virginia, too, and I just found it crazy that they're undefeated, they're 6th rated, and they're having to go on the road, first real big road test, and they're not motivated to play Iowa State. I just found that really hard to believe.
You know, I think that the other teams in the Big 12, the power teams, at least the traditional power teams, I think maybe they're finally realizing that Iowa State is one of them now. Okay, they are. They were right there with Oklahoma, and that was with a third straight quarterback. They're playing really. This is a legitimate football team. I said this a couple weeks ago. They're legitimate, and I think that West Virginia game might have been a signal to the rest of the conference that, hey, you know what, these guys are really good, and we'll find out more this weekend because now the odds have caught up. No more home dog status for Iowa State. They're the favorite against Texas Tech. And it'll be interesting to see how they perform because now the pressure's on the Cyclones to prove that they're worthy of this grading that they're getting by the odds makers and by the general public.
Dave, what frustrates you more?
I think this is going to be a tough game for Iowa State. I think this is a real toss-up this week with the Red Raiders.
I would agree. What frustrates you more in the NFL, officiating or place kickers?
I don't know what's happened with the kicking. It's just weird. I have no explanation for it. So I can't really say anything about it. And guess what? That puts me on the same level as NFL executives. They don't understand it either. Nobody can figure it out. I mean, even Tucker missed an extra point last week and maybe cost the Ravens a win. It's weird. But I got to tell you, from a fun standpoint, I'm so glad they moved the extra point back to where it is because it's not automatic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a decision to make if you're a coach. Hey, maybe I ought to go for two here because it's no sure thing that I'm going to get the extra point. Anything that adds to armchair quarterbacking for us fans, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I love it. I love it. Dave Kochan joining us here from Las Vegas, 3:30 on the Gym Class for Thursday on KGYM. Tonight, the NFL's weekend kicks off with Houston looking for their fourth in a row. A lot of people have had that fly under the radar as they take on the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins, they look pretty good against the Bears, and then they don't look so good last week.
Yeah, but the Texans don't look so good either.
And they win.
They still haven't had a good – well, yeah, I mean, they win, but – a lot of that's been the opposition. I don't know. I can't give them much credit for the win at Jacksonville because the Jaguars are a completely fractured team right now. You heard the comments after the game. I mean, that's a franchise that's a mess right now. The defense doesn't trust the offense, and the defense, by the way, is right. And I don't know what the Jaguars are going to do. So, you know, Houston beat them, but it's not like they were sensational. I can't lay the points here. Really like Miami, but if I had to take a stance here, I would take the points of Miami. It figures to be a close game.
Dave, Scott and I were talking before we brought you in about this match in a month between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, and I read your tweet. You think it's going to be a huge flop, but I wonder if you talk about that, but also whether it will be attractive in Las Vegas.
I think the fact that it's pay-per-view is going to lessen the betting action on it considerably. The fact that they're also, I didn't know about this till today, they're now allowing spectators on the course.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like it should be really exciting, watching two guys walking up and down a golf course. I can't wait. I was excited about this when they first announced it. I thought, boy, this is going to be a really fun event. Around Thanksgiving, we got a lot of tourists in town. They'll get big crowds out there. It'll be exciting. And they've gone in the complete opposite direction, turning it into a private affair that you have to pay to watch on TV. Unless I'm in a sports book where they're carrying it, there's no chance I'll watch. And I'm sure not alone in that sentiment. I think it's going to be a total bust.
I think it is, too. But you can't have the people getting in the way of that witty repartee between Phil and Tiger out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Phil actually is pretty interesting.
He is.
Tiger's only interesting when he gets mad after a shot and swears. So, Well, and he's good at that. I mean, I like Tiger. I think he's great for the game. In his prime, he's the best golfer ever by a lot, even better than Jack. For career, Jack's a better player. But Tiger in his prime, he was Mike Tyson. I can't understand. And by the way, it looks like the amount going to carry isn't even going to be as much as was speculated. So there is nothing to lure me to watching this event. And I will not be watching it.
Well, Black Friday, you'd be watching Iowa, Nebraska anyway, right, Dave?
Well, I'll be watching football. I know that. that's a big football weekend. I mean, there's a lot of great games. And Iowa, Nebraska might be really interesting because the Cornhuskers had a bye sign last week. That was a really good win for them against Minnesota. I know Minnesota's not a great team, but getting that first win, getting off the schneid was big for this team. And I would not be surprised if Nebraska's kind of a dangerous team down the stretch.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. You made the Nebraskans very happy around here. Hey, Dave, we'll let you go. Appreciate all the insight. Have fun watching your Red Sox over the weekend.
I'm sure hoping so. I'd like to see a sweep.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. 334. Dave Kokin joining us on Thursdays. Yeah, great man. Give him a follow at Dave Kokin on Twitter. Smokin' Kokin is the website. And loves his Red Sox. Well, hoping for the sweep out there. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette will join us. We'll kick around some high school football playoff action. A little bit about the Rough Riders. We'll ask him about Rocco Baldelli and other things when we come back.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
McDonald's presents Bad Luck Brian.
A while back, my yearbook photo went viral and I became the face of bad luck. The internet made millions of memes about me, like saying I'm an only child, but still not the favorite.
He's about to play the new Trick Treat Win game.
All right, I want a free Egg McMuffin.
If he's lucky enough to win, you're lucky enough to win. Hurry in and play Trick Treat Win. With 1 in 4 odds of winning instantly, you won't need luck. No purchase necessary. Ends October 31st. 50 U.S. and D.C., 13 and older. Rules at participating McDonald's. Mostly food prizes.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $28.95 and get a $10 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Protect your engine from sludge and wear with Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes, warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank, where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes, and you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
.337 back with you. We've got a Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last night. We'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. Gym class coming your way for Thursday on KGYM as we've got pro football for you tonight. The Houston Texans and the Miami Dolphins. And we'll have it at 7 o'clock for you this evening right here on KGYM. Tomorrow night, high school football playoffs, round 1, 6:45. We'll be on the air, myself, John, and Jeff down at Trojan Field, as it will be Iowa City West hosting Cedar Rapids Kennedy, 106.3 FM, Solon hosting Western Dubuque. Down with us at Trojan Field will be our next guest, Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Give him a follow at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter as well. Before we talk about that, Jeff, the $54,000 question, did the RPI do well?
In a lot of cases, I don't think there's really a lot of
teams out there that really has a gripe as far as not getting in, perhaps like a Clear Lake at 7-2, perhaps a Belmont Clemmy at 7-2. My big gripe is that head-to-head means absolutely nothing, and this whole Class 3A fiasco where Sergeant Bluff Luton is the top RPI. A team it lost to by 28 points is behind it, and then another team that's the defending state champion is behind it. That part, to me, is ridiculous, and hopefully it'll get tweaked to where head-to-head actually means something, either next season or next cycle.
What about the matchups? Let's look at 4A and how they all pan out.
That Prairie Johnston game, Mark, that's one that really is intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. A couple of 7-2 teams coming off losses in the regular season finale. And, Waukee beat Johnston, I think, on a last-second touchdown last week. And Waukee beat Prairie pretty handily in the regular season. So does that mean anything? I think that game in Iowa City will be interesting. Scott's going to be at, and I'll be at. Is your lap big enough to hold me, by the way, if there's too many people in the press box tomorrow night?
I got a big press box at Iowa City West. You got
okay.
No problems,
all right,
man.
Good enough. But it's interesting to me, kind of going back and doing some research as we did, Kennedy has not beaten a team with a winning record in 3 years. So, what a perfect time for the Cougars maybe to end that streak, right, would be Friday night against West. So, that's just the area ones, I guess, that kind of intrigued me a little bit there in 4A.
Well, you're talking about Prairie. It's interesting with the whole RPI situation. There were three games that went Johnston's way that were, quote-unquote, kind of upsets a little bit, which gave Johnston the home game. If it would have been the other way, it would have been Prairie hosting that. So, that's how close – it's a game of not inches anymore. It's a game of – 10th and 100ths of a point now.
yeah, and we got a 4-5 team in the field in Southeast Polk, and I can kind of look at that in two ways. Yeah, Southeast Polk played a difficult schedule, but Southeast Polk didn't beat any of those good teams that it played either. So is that worthy of being included into the playoffs? I mean, you can judge on that, but, just a little tweaking. I think generally the RPI is pretty decent, but, you gotta take head-to-head into consideration. I mean, why the heck are we playing the games if in the regular season if they don't really mean anything head-to-head, right?
Yeah, and I think there will be some tweaking going on. I don't think there's any doubt about that. 3A, I got to give John Hegarty credit. He called this 3-4 weeks ago. He said Pella is coming to Xavier, and he was a prophet. He is right, and they've been the two, the two big-time programs in 3A over the last 4 years.
Yeah, and they played each other, every one of those years, I think, or it seems like it anyway. So Xavier really handled Pella last year in the title game, and unless the Saints really play poorly, I think it's going to be more of the same Friday night. I just think Xavier's that good. And, give props to Pella for another 8-1 season. But I don't think this is a great Pella team. And I think this is a great Xavier team. So, like I said, it is. That's one where it's too bad you have to match up in the first round. And, really, Scott, the other one I'm really interested in, Decorah and Western Dubuque. Up there in Decorah, those are two pretty good football teams and kind of contrasting styles a little bit as far as what they want to do offensively. So that's one that in 3A that kind of intrigues me off the top of my head here.
Is 3A the strongest class top to bottom?
Yeah, Mark, I think so. It was interesting kind of looking at it, and I put a little Twitter poll out there to let people vote. Did not include 4A, did not include Class A, I believe, was the other one I didn't include. I think it was
2A.
2A, yeah, which I don't think is really that strong. I think 1A is really good. I think 3A, as you said, is really strong. And the 8 player, I mean, that's just a total crapshoot when it comes down to the playoffs. And yeah, I think Class A is a pretty strong class as well. So, but yeah, if I had to make me nudge one way or the other, I'd probably go with 3A, maybe being the strongest top to bottom.
On the text line, a couple for you. David and Hudson, of course, wants to know thoughts on Hudson.
9-0, undefeated. And I got them winning the whole thing. That'll be out tomorrow. We got a special section with some stories and predictions, which I don't know why we continue to do these predictions, because all we do is get grief for them.
Because it sells papers, man.
I know. I don't need anything to help prove my ignorance, and so, but we continue to do these kind of things. But I got Hudson winning the whole thing, so at least that's one man's opinion.
98-96, would like to know your thoughts on Clear Creek and Mana.
That's an interesting game too, when you look at how is Clear Creek and Mana going to handle being in the playoffs for the first time? I don't want to say that's a club that's overachieved, but, I think it's done some 8-1, and I don't know if anybody over down there could have maybe predicted that. So, I mean, it's a team that plays good defense and is a little limited in the passing game, so it has to kind of live and die by its rush. So, to me, the big thing is how the Clippers are going to handle the situation, being in the playoffs and all that, the pressure that goes with that.
2A, you had one district with 3 representatives. You had Benton, mm-hmm. Union, and West Marshall. They all made it. Benton's going to get Green County. By the way, folks, that is Jefferson. Jefferson, not the Jayhawks. That is the Rams. Jefferson Scranton. Way over there. That's the headline of the first night, and potentially the second night as well, Jeff. And that is, you got some long bus trips for kids.
Yeah. Jefferson Scranton, I think East Green is in that district as well, or what used to be East Green. I want to say maybe Peyton Jordan as well.
Yep, they're in there too.
But yeah, is there air travel involved with this? What is the West Branch and Osage is another one, right?
That is another. That's maybe the farthest is,
yeah,
West Branch Osage.
and I think when you looked at it, I mean, there was possibilities where, like, West Branch, say, could have played Wilton in the first round. They were not district mates, and they're close together. So it's nice to see, in my opinion, the IHSAA kind of try and seed this thing and play games according to it instead of just going by geography for once. So. Yeah, good on them. Friday night, kids don't have to get up the next morning right away. So I actually kind of like it.
There you go. Jeff Johnson joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. You mentioned West Branch. Mm. They have to go to Osage. Wilton gets Pella Christian at home in the first round. And there's no Regina in 1A. This looks really weird for the first time in 15 years.
Yeah, for sure. I think the Regals had a lot of injuries and I think that maybe kind of played a role in having a very un-Regina-like season, and that is very strange not to see Marv Cook's guys make it in the playoffs. Really strange. What was it? I 18 years in a row?
No, 2003, I think, was the last time they weren't in.
Okay, well, there you go, 15. So, what an incredible streak, what an impressive streak for Regina. And, they'll be back, right? The Regals will be back, no question, at some point.
How about some of the great stories this year? Two of them are going to play in the first round. That'd be BGM at Edco. BGM has had some good years, certainly, and, of course, with the tragedy that went through that community. And then it's been a while since the Edco Vikings have been this high in football.
Yeah, as you said, the BGM's quarterback's a brother of Molly Tibbetts, and what a great human interest story that is, and that he in particular and that team and that community have been able to heal and have a great football season. And Edco's on kind of one of those great athlete cycles when you look at, you know, the basketball team went to the state tournament this past year, and the baseball team was there, what, 2 years ago, if I remember correctly. So, you know, they say schools kind of go through good athlete cycles, and certainly Edco is one of them. And, you know, Central City to me is another really tremendous story when you look at eight player. There's a program that hasn't had hardly any success. One prior playoff appearance in football, and you know, those guys had a great regular season, 8-1, did a lot of tremendous things. And oh yeah, by the way, your reward, go down to Don Bosco and play in the first round.
Yeah, but you know what, Bosco is gettable, I think. It sounds like this year, like you said, 8-player is completely up for grabs.
Yeah, I don't know how you, or I haven't been able to figure out how to, you know, rate teams other than, okay, you know, pretty much Don Bosco is going to be in the semifinals about every year, it seems like. But, you know, I don't know how to figure out that class and who's good and who's really not good. You know, like you said, I mean, Northwood Kinsett shut them out. You know, that's pretty incredible. And other than that, Don Bosco scored a crazy amount of points in every other game. So I do think Central City has the ability. They're big, you know, the Wildcats are big up front, have some good athletes and a couple of tall athletes. And I think Central City's going to go up there and play very well. And I think that'll be a really, really tremendous first-round game.
Switch gears for a minute, JJ. Rocco Baldelli, go.
You know, I got a fever, and the prescription is more Rocco Baldelli, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sure as heck didn't surprise me, Mark. I kind of figured it would be a numbers guy, an analytics guy, a young guy that they were going to hire. And, you know, that's exactly what they did, and we'll see how it works out. I reserve judgment, I guess, at this point.
I think I will, too, yeah.
Well, with that being said, it's got to trickle down the entire organization, though. I mean, we got to see a little bit of this thinking in Cedar Rapids soon.
I think you already have.
Well, true, we already have, but even more.
It's amazing when you look at it, you know, at this level, the last 2 years, really, in, you know, since the new guys have come in. I mean, it's the amount of information that the coaching staffs here have access to is just, it's almost baffling when you consider it's low class A. I mean, they've got charts on, you know, team on players on teams that they haven't even played in the, you know, in the season yet. And that's just, it's incredible. And the video to go with it. So, I mean, that's just the way the game is now. It's the smart guys have taken over, and, you know, we'll see how smart, I guess, these guys really are ultimately. And, some of the things I don't know that I necessarily like. I'm more of an old school type of guy, obviously. But, you know, certainly if you can't see the value in analytics, then you're not paying attention.
Rough Riders early in the season here, Jeff, and it's got a road game and then a home game this weekend. What have you seen early about from this team?
I think it's going to be a good team. It's, you know, a lot of it comes down to goaltending. And Blake Piatilla has been really good as a second-year guy. He really has improved from his first season. I think it's a good mix of guys that have played in the league before and played here before and, you know, some talented newcomers. I mean, there's you know, again, an NHL draft pick on the team and Nathan Smith and a couple other guys that will probably get drafted this upcoming summer. So, I mean, the talent's there. Yeah, I expect a good season. I expect a playoff season out of this team after 2 years of not getting there. So they do the old road home thing this weekend, over to Lincoln tomorrow, a nice 5-hour drive, come back in the middle of the night, and then play at home Saturday against Chicago. So, yeah, you know, we'll see. I think this is going to be a good team.
Why don't they stop in Sioux Falls or Sioux City or, you know, make the trip worthwhile?
It's they'll leave early tomorrow morning and they'll drive in, and I don't. Sometimes when they go distances like this, they have a hotel where maybe the guys can get an afternoon nap or things like that. But it just, to me, it doesn't make any sense. You know, why don't you play either two road games or two home games?
Yeah, yeah.
Why make them do this, drive to Nebraska on Friday and then have another home game on Saturday? But, you know, I don't make the schedule. So if I did it, I'm sure it would be just a disaster.
Well, we're plumb out of time, but I'll leave you with this, Jeff, because you'll enjoy this. On the way to work this morning, merged onto I-380 next to the bus of the Minnesota Magicians.
Is that right?
Yes.
AHL? Awesome.
On their way to Springfield, I see.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
They got a weekend series. They're playing three games in Springfield. See, they do it right.
Exactly. If you're going to drive that far, you might as well make it worth the while, right?
You couldn't help but notice it was the Minnesota Magicians because it was all over their bus.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're doing it the right way. But I figured you'd enjoy that.
Yeah. I actually drove to Rockford last night to watch the San Antonio Rampage, Scotty.
That's right.
Blues farm team.
Robbie Fabry. How'd he do?
Robbie Fabry. He had a goal. He had a shorthanded goal, but us autograph seekers, he stiffed everybody on his way out to the bus. So.
Oh, Robbie.
So be it.
Eh.
Yeah.
There'll be more chances. There'll be more chances.
I hope so.
All right. We'll look forward to the preview tomorrow in the paper, and we'll see you in Iowa City tomorrow night.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas. Have a good night.
You bet. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us here on the Gym Class. We'll take a break, come back. Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last night is coming up next.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from the chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition. The certain sound of chattering children in costume on Halloween, or the gathering round the table for a magnificent turkey dinner. There are things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertin and Stocker as a family business, true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising in these modern times, they still offer a layaway program. Put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. During the fall, as you enjoy your family's traditions and begin holiday shopping, walk by and see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then stop in and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Whether you're tailgating at the stadium parking lot, camping at the lake, or a spontaneous celebration, there's a reliable Honda generator ready to give you more power, more freedom, more security, and the time to do what you want, where you want. That's power you can trust. And be sure to ask about our Honda inverter generators for more reliable, cleaner power. See the full line of Honda power equipment at Acme Tools, 1943 Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids, or online at acmetools.com. Do your best work.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. Back at 3:57 here on KGYM, Todd Promelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next. Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last night. It's brought to you by May City Bowl and Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The Gary Dolphin edition of Bowling Night in America. Hit it, Mark.
Well, you and I were not present.
We were done. We were off last night.
Schedule being what it is, but that didn't deter our teammates, the Rusty Nails, who posted the top series of the year for the team. Where did that get us? One game and 2 points. Split 2-2 last night with Quaker Oats. Quaker Oats had a terrific night as well. I think their second highest series of the year. But no ground gained, no ground lost, pretty much. Rusty Nail still tied for fifth in the Adult Evergreen League. And 18 up, 14 down. So steady as she goes.
We'll be back at him next week against a boatload of Donners, I hear.
Except for Joel.
Joel will be
trick-or-treating with younger members of his family, I guess.
Well,
yeah.
I have a feeling there'll be a lot of that at Halloween next week, but Bowling Night in America goes on.
It does go on. Ryan Bundy, 279 for the top game in the league last night, just a pin ahead of Glenn Healy. Mike Robinson, 750 for high series. Nice bowling there, Mike. So we'll do it again next week, and if you have any questions or want to schedule a party out of Mace City, give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, MaceCityBowlCR.com.
I'd like to know who did all the averages last night and all the handicap and on the team. And
since you and I are usually responsible for that. And
yeah.
I told you Corey could probably handle it.
I hope they got everything back in the locker. All right, Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next. Pick six coming up tomorrow and more.
Here's one question that has no wrong answer. Are you going to choose the new Shell and Fuel Rewards card to be used at Shell stations or the Shell engines or the